Welcome to Woodridge Baptist Church Podcast. For more information about what is happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
We've been in Hebrews, and today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 14, so I invite you to turn there. And I just want to kind of get your mind going a little bit for a second. I want you to think to someone that when you had a difficult time or you had a difficult hour, you knew that they were a person that you could go to. And you knew what you were getting when you went to them as well. You knew that you were going to be getting support. Sometimes you would have this person that when you just had a lot that was on your heart, you could just express it. And you knew that they were a safe space. In fact, they were wise enough to know that a lot of times that you have to say anything. They would just sit there and listen with you. And that was a form of encouragement to you. Do you have somebody like that in your life? Or how about this? Do you have somebody that could speak some difficult truths into your life? Like they're on the outside looking in. I want you to be thinking of maybe a friend, right? But they're on the outside looking in, and maybe they see some choices that you're making, and because they love you, they're willing to say, hey, you know, there's just a better way for you to go. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Anybody? All right, good. The reason that that's good is because we all have blind spots. I mean, every single one of us has blind spots. I've shared this example before, but I think it's worth repeating. If you think of Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the most famous preachers of his day, famous for delivering the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But there's also a sermon that was found on a piece of paper. It was said of Jonathan Edwards that he would scribble sermons on like anything. So as an idea would hit him, he would like to just grab it and kind of write it down, and then he would keep it, right? Well, there was this one sermon that he wrote on a side of a paper, but if you flipped over the other side, it was a bill of sale for a slave. So on the one hand, you have a person that is actively a part of the slave trade. You flip it on the other side, and he's writing a sermon. And you go, how could a person not see what's wrong with this? And the answer is because we all have blind spots. That's how. And one of the things that I'm trying to encourage you on the front end to say is have those kinds of friends that can see what's going on in your life and to love you enough to speak some truth into you. Now, that's only part of the story, though. Because if you think of the rest of the story, it's only so much for a friend to speak some truth into our life. It's a totally different thing for us to receive it. Now that one's on us. So keep that in mind as I read this, because there's this warning. And the warning that you see in verses 7 through 14 is about hardening your heart. So for those of you that kind of mark in your Bible, when I get to that part, I want you to underline that part. Because here's the way it begins in verse 7. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says... Now, here's the thing. Everything that's going to be here is a direct quote of Scripture. And what I believe is that everything that you find in the Word of God is from God Himself. Everything to which God speaks is true. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did, this is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray. They haven't known my ways. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. For we have become participants in Jesus if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. Now, those are some awesome verses, but for a number of reasons. And I want to give you just a little bit of backdrop, because as I said, you know, when you look, it says, the Holy Spirit says, everything you see in verses 7 through 11, it's quoting Psalm 95 directly. So when you think of the Holy Spirit, you say, well, what was the Holy Spirit saying? The Holy Spirit was speaking through Psalm 95. What's the backdrop there? Well, it refers to a moment in the Old Testament that goes back to Numbers chapter 14. So here we're in Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 is quoting Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is referencing Numbers 14. All right, do y'all have that down now? Excellent. You are the best students that I've ever had. So what's going on in Numbers 14 so that we know what's going on? And here's the answer. Israel is near to the promised land. God had brought them out of Egypt. He had brought them out of slavery. They're about to enter the land that they're going to conquer. And so what they do is they send spies in, and they just want to kind of survey the land. They want to see what's going on. It's one of those, what are we about to get ourselves into when we go in here? Because they already know the people there don't like them very much, right? That would be like us going into some countries in the Middle East, and you go, we're going to send some people in to see what's waiting ahead of us. That's what's happening in Numbers chapter 14. So what happens is the spies come back, and they report that there's a little bit of a problem. And the problem is that the people in the land are huge. Or if you were to use some modern-day political people, huge. And they feel a little bit overwhelmed. So they come back and they say, that's what we're up against. That would be like, all right, take your normal high school football team, and you go, all right, so we're going to be playing the University of Texas tomorrow. Could somebody go and sneak into their practice and see what they look like? And then you go back to your high school team and you go, we have a problem. They're all about 75 pounds heavier than we are. They also can bench press a house. And we can't do that. Nevertheless, you know, we're going to line up against those guys tomorrow. How do you think the game is going to go? But here's the thing, and that's kind of how they feel. These people are enormous. 8 out of the 10 say, this can't be done. It can't be done. The other 2 think that it can. So you have the spies that go in, 8 out of the 10 are like, we just can't do this. So here's the thing. The result of the people is pretty interesting because on the one hand, you've got 8 out of the 10 saying this can't be done. God's on their side, but it still can't be done. And then they revolt. They're like, you know what? We want new leadership, because if this is the best leadership that you could provide, then you're not much of a leader. So the overwhelming majority of the people are against God-appointed leadership. Now, there's a lesson there for us. Simply because there are numbers doesn't mean that the numbers are right, right? The leaders might actually have it, and the followers not be doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, that's one thing there. So they say, we want new leadership. And then they don't complain to God, because God has no problem with you taking your complaints to him. This is something that Job does more than once, by the way, right? He takes his concerns to God. God is totally fine with that. I don't know about you, but my prayer life's pretty raw. I'm just honest. If I'm upset, I'm like, I'm upset. If I'm happy, I'm like, I'm happy. That's just kind of the way that I talk to God. Well, here's the thing. They're not just complaining to God. They're complaining about God. And there's a big difference. And this is what God goes on to say. He asks Moses in Numbers 14. He looks at Moses and he says, how long are these people not going to believe me? Now, I want you to think about this. What had God done to this point for these people? What had he done? I mean, it was their own failure that had them in captivity to begin with. It wasn't God's failure. This is the story of Israel. They sin. God says, hey, stop, or you're going to come under judgment. And they're like, well, we're not going to stop. And then they come under judgment. And they're like, hey, maybe we need to go back to God. And so then they go back to God, and they start to get complacent again. And then they fall away. And God goes, hey, you need to stop, because if you don't, here's the consequences of the choices that you're making. Guess what they do? They're like, well, we're just going to keep on going. And it's like, okay. And then judgment comes down. This is the story of Israel over and over again. But God is looking at them saying, at what point are these people going to believe me? I just delivered them out of Egypt. I just delivered them from over 400 years of captivity. You got pillars of fire, and you got clouds everywhere so they know where to go. I've been feeding them. At what point do the people say, God has been good? And even in those moments when I can't quite see what God is up to, I have no reason to doubt him. I have none. That's what God is basically saying to Moses. And the result? God keeps his people from the promised land because they had hardened their hearts against him. His own people are delayed in a blessing because of how they interact with who is supposedly their Lord. This is what gets us to the point of Hebrews 3. God works miracles for Israel, but they missed the point of it all because of their unbelief. And as you saw in verse 13, and I encourage you just to look at it, it says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Think about it. Unbelief is really deceptive. And here's why, is because it is deceptive in the fact that you never catch on that your heart is being hardened by it. You don't even feel it. You're just there. And this got my wheels really turning, because if Israel can fall, after everything that God had done for them, we all can fall. Hebrews, by the way, is written to believers. And all of these warnings that you've seen in the first three chapters are to believers. Be careful that you don't fall away. Stand guard that you don't fall away. Take care so that you don't fall away. Even believers can smack walk away from a blessing that they could have in their relationship with Jesus. That's why it's the warning. You're literally walking away from his blessing. And that's just not something that the writer of Hebrews wants for us. If Israel can fall, anyone can fall. So take care. It's similar to how calluses toughen our skin. Probably all of you know this. It's similar to how calluses toughen our skin's exterior on the outside, and it numbs our physical sensations. And just like that, we have the ability to build walls around our hearts that prevent us from being in tune with the emotions that are supposed to lead us towards Jesus and making those changes in our life. We just create a wall. We have a callus around our heart. Mike Query give some thoughts on the signs of a hard heart. That was something that really had my mind this week. How can I know that my heart is hard? Have you ever wondered that? Let me give you some things to think about this morning. What are some of the signs? And here's the first one that Mike Query gives. You don't feel like talking to anyone anymore. And I want you to pay close attention to this, because when it's talking, so you can have a hard heart toward a person, you can have a hard heart toward Jesus. Maybe you don't even want to talk to Jesus anymore. Think about it. Paul gives this warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. He says, "We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and we've opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you're withholding yours from us. And as a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open your hearts also." Some group in this church had basically just formed walls where relationships couldn't even be formed between believers to believers, but also believers to Jesus. What is the solution to this? Is that you have to reclaim some vulnerability here. This is the great danger in love, and some of you probably know this. I was thinking back to this with Wendy. Some people were talking about, hey, what was it like? You know, tell us the story about when you met Wendy. And some of you have heard this, but this relationship went pretty fast. I mean, I was talking to her mom and dad a month after our first date, whether or not I can marry her. Now, I repeat, I don't encourage it, okay? I'm just saying I did it. That's the report. But we've been married almost 18 years. But as I think about going into this, and this is the part that I don't really share a ton, I had been engaged before. And about a month or so before the wedding, you know, she called the marriage off. My girls, by the way, were asking about that earlier. That was an uncomfortable moment, right? Wait, you were engaged before mom? Yeah. I don't regret anything. I'm exactly with who I should be with. But I remember going into my relationship with her, and I'm sitting there going, I don't know. And part of the reason that I can say I didn't know is because I remember basically getting burned a couple of years before in a pretty major way. Have you ever been there? Now, here's the thing. I was genuinely burned. Sometimes it's not that a person has done us wrong. This is the other side of it. It's that they didn't give us what we wanted. And this is the thing with our relationship with Jesus, especially if we treat Jesus like the genie in Aladdin. You're here basically to cough up what it is that I expect out of you. And if you don't give me what I want, well, then what kind of relationship do we really have? Two things. One, sometimes our circumstances really do hurt us, and that's okay. Two, sometimes it's our expectations that really are the source of our hurt. The effect can be the same, an unwillingness to be vulnerable. And with Jesus, this is the thing. The only way to overcome this, and Mike Query is saying, we don't even feel like talking anymore. If you come to the place in your relationship with Jesus that you're not even talking to Jesus anymore, it's a good sign that you have a hard heart toward Jesus. Instead, I encourage you to remember what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 6, when he says, "I speak as to my children, open your heart to him." Open it up. Be honest. Put the cards on the table. What are you frustrated with? What is it that's upset you? What is it that you're disappointed with that's been going on in your life? What is an expectation that you had that you maybe shouldn't have had? And now you look at Jesus and go, "I shouldn't have thrown that on you. I wasn't praying in accordance with your will. I was expecting you basically to pony up to mine, and mine wasn't worth it." What is it? Lay it at his feet. Here's the second sign that your heart might be getting hard. Everyone's advice seems bad to you. Everybody's advice seems bad to you. You know what? I have some concerns about decisions that you're making here. Well, you're wrong. Know anybody like that? Don't look at anybody here, by the way. You know, I do. Everyone's advice seems bad to you. I was thinking in Exodus chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, you know, since we were talking about the captivity of the Egyptians, and there's this story, you know, and it reads this way. It says, again, the magicians of Egypt used their magic, and they too turned water into blood. You remember kind of the going back and forth with Moses and these guys? So Pharaoh's heart remained hard. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. Pharaoh returned to his palace, and he put the whole thing out of his mind. Here's why. It's because the Pharaoh saw what the Pharaoh wanted to see. Now, as much as I want to say that about the Pharaoh, I got to tell you, friends, it's no different with you and me. We typically see what we want to see. So does everybody's advice seem bad to you? Can you think of a time that a friend spoke a truth to you and you weren't exactly thrilled with your friend for speaking the truth to you? Here's an example. I'm really concerned with who you're dating. They don't seem to really be leading you closer to Jesus. They seem to be leading you away from Jesus. How many of you ever had a friend say something like that to you? I'm concerned with who it is that you're looking to marry. Those aren't easy conversations, right? But a good friend, if what they see is, and they're following a simple litmus test, do they get you closer to God? Do they get you further away from God? And they say, I have a concern here. And you go, you know what? I'm not listening to you. If you really cared about me, you wouldn't say these kinds of things. Maybe they're saying these kinds of things because they care for you. Everyone's advice seems bad to you. Here's a third. You're unable to love people. You're unable to love people. It's a sign of a hard heart. Matthew gives us this caution in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. You know, if you think of a normal relationship, absence makes the heart grow fonder. How many of you have heard that before? Did you know that's not true? Did you know that? Absence makes the heart grow fonder of someone else. That's true. That is what's true. Absence makes the heart grow fonder of someone else. You know, if we just spent some time apart, we're not actually doing anything to invest in our relationship. Maybe there's some brokenness in the relationship, but let's just spend some time apart. Let's invest in other things and other people. And they're going, great, but what do you think that's going to get you? That's just going to get you further apart. Because of the increase of wickedness, love grows cold. As we invest in the wrong things, we start to love the wrong things. As we love the wrong things, we start to hate the right things. Those things grow cold to us while these start to get the affections of our heart. It's the sign of a hard heart. What's the solution to this? Well, just as before, when you think of you don't feel like talking to anyone, the solution there is vulnerability. Everybody's advice seems bad to you. You might want some humility. Maybe here you're unable to love anyone. Here's a good thought. Maybe we need to be honest with ourselves. Maybe we need to be honest with ourselves. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it teaches that when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, if you get all your stuff out in the open, it will actually endear people to you because you chose to become vulnerable and honest about your life circumstances. Let me give you one example. And let me also be the first to say this. I'm not necessarily going to walk up to somebody I don't know and say, you know, there's just a lot going on in my life and my heart right now. Can I share that with you? I don't encourage that. I'm encouraging a right kind of vulnerability. It's people that you know that are godly and wise. They have your best interest in mind, that you know they're going to be fervent in prayer for you, and that you could call them at 2 a.m. and say, I need a friend, and they're going to say hello. You know the people I'm talking about? That's who I have in mind here. But you've got to be honest. I was thinking about this week. There was, you know, back in North Carolina, when we started some of the home groups, and I remember one of the guys that was like, I'm in, I want to do this. His name was Art. Art is one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet in your life. But Art opened up his home. We had about 6 or 7 from the church going to his home. We had about another 5 or 6 from his street going to his home. The way that they kind of did, there was a show that they all watched. I didn't know this was happening, but they were all watching a show together, eating together. They'd watched the show. I can't remember what it was. But then they would discuss all their theories about the show. And then after the show was over with, then they started doing their devotional, right? That's one way to do it. But here was the thing. After a couple of months, he said, you know, this hasn't really taken off yet. But then you fast forward a little bit. I get this text message from him, and he said, it happened last night. And so I called him, and I said, well, what happened last night? And he said, finally, the group became what the group was supposed to be. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, every week we just get together, and we kind of do our thing. We get into our Bible study, and it's usually good. He said, but after the Bible study is over with, everybody just kind of goes back home, and you don't feel like there's anything that's really happening there. Study is happening, but transformation isn't happening. Connection isn't happening. He goes, until last night. Now, so what happened? He said, well, we got to the end. We always take up prayer requests. We're always praying for other people. Right? We'll pray for such and so. Oh, pray for such and so. He said, which is fine. He said, but finally, one of the couples just opened up and they said, guys, we've gotten to know you. We think we can trust you. Can we just say, our marriage is struggling and we need help. Can you help us? And he said, you know, there was this thing, because it got real quiet for a minute, and we're all like, oh, of course we can. He said, so we stopped, and we went, and we put our hands on them, we prayed over them. They knew that they could call us day, night, it didn't matter. He said, and then once we said our amens and we sat down, he said, another couple said, guys, there's some things that we haven't been honest about with you. And they started to share. The solution, and this is the thing, the solution to our not loving people and even Jesus the way that we should is being honest like that. Being honest like that. Let me ask you a simple question. What is it that is keeping you from having the relationship with Jesus that you know that you're supposed to have? And let's be honest about it. Here's the last thing. Another sign that you have a hard heart is that you don't feel anything about the stuff that you should. You don't feel anything about the stuff that you should. I'm not saying you don't necessarily feel anything. I'm saying you don't feel anything about the stuff you should. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, it gives us this word. It says, they're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. They have just given themselves over to it. And the result is callous to the things of Jesus. I don't even feel the things of Jesus anymore that I should be feeling. Have you ever asked that question? Why don't I feel the way that I used to in my spiritual life? I feel distant from him. Has it ever crossed your mind that there's a possibility that you've grown hard to him? The solution to this one, my friends, is to love him. It's to love him. Just like if you had grown hard in your relationship with your spouse or you had grown hard in a relationship with your friend, the solution to this is to love them. Romans 12:21 says it best, you overcome evil with good. You overcome evil with good. All of this is because of one thing that was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. And you probably saw it before when God in Numbers 14 looks at Moses and he goes, what do I have to do to make these people believe me? The root of all hardness goes back to that problem. Fundamentally, it's because we're not really believing God and what he says to us. I want to give you two suggestions this morning, and I hope you kind of lock them in your heart. Think about these over the course of this week. Meditate on it. Ask an honest question. Is this me? Is this me? And God, show me. Two things. How do you overcome unbelief? And here's the first. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on. Here's why. It's because it's going to be a ride. That's why. You hold on. We took the girls to Fiesta, Texas earlier in the year. We went over to visit family in San Antonio. We got on one of the rides, and I was trying to convince one of my girls that wasn't exactly fired up about it. To get on the ride. Now, this is the thing. It was her first big ride. You know what I'm talking about? It was her first big one. And so what we thought would be the buffer here is if I'm the one that's sitting next to her, right? Because I'm not actually scared of that stuff. I think it's wild and fun, right? So they're like, okay, so you sit down next to her. So that's what I'm going to do. So as I sit down and I'm looking over at one of my girls, I'm like, you all right? And we haven't even started yet, right? I'm like, are you all right? And she's like, yeah, I think I'm good right now. The minute that ride started going, and you start taking off, it changed, right? Now, some of you probably know what I'm talking about. But then you start climbing up, you know, and it's this steep climb, and that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da as you go. You know what I'm talking about? As you go up the ride, and then you get to the top, and you go, all right, it's about to be on. And as you get to the top, I'm like, no, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. That's the way that I'm communicating the whole time, right? Before we even started, I've got my arm totally over her, like this. I have her braced for the impact of the drop. And as we zoom and we drop, bloody murder screaming. Bloody murder, right? That's the thing. I'm holding her like this. And I'm like, are you good? Are you good? Are you good? The whole ride. Oh! I mean, the whole ride. And we finally get to the end. And it goes, whoop, and it stops. I said, hey, the ride's over. And she sits there. Hey, hold on. She goes, that was fun. You know, it wasn't for me, you know, at all. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to him. If you look at verse 14, it says, we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly. I'm talking grip of death. Hold firmly until the end. The reality we had at the start. This is all written to believers. You had everything that you needed. It was already there at the start, and you walked away from every blessing. Hold to Jesus. Hold on to him. And then second, and this one's to you, believers, encourage each other. Can you encourage each other? Or the way it was said in verse 13, exhort each other. We don't typically use that word. It's kind of a Bible word. Can we encourage each other? Can we push on each other? Can we stop bickering just a little bit? Can we stop it? Can we stop being contrarian about things that in the end Jesus doesn't care about? Can we stop it? Can we live Romans 14 out enough so that we can prefer a brother or sister in Jesus over our personal preferences? And what it means in Romans 14 is this. We're not asking you to compromise morally. We're not asking you to compromise doctrinally. But did you know Christians are actually different? Did you know that? Did you know that Christians have different preferences? Did you know that? Here's what Paul's saying in Romans 14. Prefer one another. Here's another way of saying it. Get over yourself. Get over it. There is a bigger thing in mind, and you're in the way. Stop. Stop. And exhort one another on. Here's the thing. We can't push each other on if we don't know what's happening in each other's lives. And we certainly don't push one another on if we're busy bickering with each other. And I'm not saying that's what's happening in Woodridge. I'm just saying it's a problem in general. It has to stop. Press on to bigger things. And that's the last thing. That means we do life together to help us overcome all of this. We do it together. That's why I began the way I did. How many of you have a friend? How many of you have a friend that can speak some hard truths into your life? And you're all sitting there going, yeah. Hey, you know what? Thank God for that, those friends. Keep them. Keep them. Give them the ticket. You give them the ticket to continue to speak truth into your life so that what it is, as Scripture says, those things that ensnare you, those are broken and those are laid at the feet of Jesus, and you press on to greater things in him. Two things, friends. Hold on to Jesus. And church, push each other on. Push each other on. This morning, I want us to take just a moment, and we want to spend some time in prayer. We want to spend some time basically doing business with God. We need to. What I hope every week, what I hope and I pray for, is that you've come in here. As you come in, that you are led to Jesus, and by the time you leave, you're worshiping Jesus. Even as believers, what I think you see is that that's broken. It's spotty at best, right? So let's just spend a moment in prayer and bow your heads. Let's remove some distractions. You know, we're going to leave this place here in a minute, and that's fine. But we're going to leave this place, and what I hope is we're going to, if you've really given your life to Jesus, that you would give this week to Jesus. There is somebody that needs you to be a blessing to them this week. Church, I'm encouraging you to be the blessing, to lift them up, to pray for them, to encourage them. Sometimes it's as simple as cooking a meal for them, being Jesus for them. That's what it's all about. But for others of you, you've come in here this morning and you've never even met Jesus, not really. And here's what I want you to know. What the Bible takes seriously is that sin is a problem. What we want you to know is that we don't want sin to get the last word. We want Jesus to have the last word in your life. That's what we want you to know. We want you to know that you can take every little flaw that's in your life and you can put it at his feet. And what the scripture says is that his grace is sufficient to cover a multitude of sins. See, as people, we struggle with that. We have a hard time forgiving. We have a hard time moving on. All that Jesus has been saying is, please just be honest with me so that we can do it together. And so if you're here this morning and you need to lay your life at Jesus' feet, I want to lead you in a time of prayer. If you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what I've prayed is that today would be your day. And what this means is that as you choose Jesus, that means that you're putting an old way of life aside and you're accepting the new life that he wants to give you. And that's why I'm ready and thrilled to pray with you. And so if you're ready to accept Christ this morning, I invite you to pray with me right now and to pray this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that. I also know that I'm in need of your grace and your forgiveness. I know that my sin has broken me, but I'm looking to you to put me back together. I'm asking you, Lord, to create in me a clean heart and to put a steadfast spirit in me so that I can put the old life aside and so that I can live for you from this day forward. Friends, nobody's looking. This is just for privacy. If you prayed that with me this morning, would you put your hand up, please? Anyone accepting Jesus this morning? Because what we want to do is we want to walk alongside you. This is the first step. Thank you. Thank you. What we want to do this morning is we want to end our worship service with worship. Hughes is going to lead us in a song. We have a little bit more to go. But here's what I want you to hear. I'm going to be down front when the service is over with. We have other staff that's going to be here. If you need us to pray with you, to help you, to encourage you, that's what this time is about. God is good.
We hope you've enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.